Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Greta Anderson. Hi, Greta.
Hi, Susan, and hi to all you listening out there.
Now we'll have the weather. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 71. Breezy with a west-southwest wind 7 to 17 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 49, south wind around 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 18. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 72. Windy with south wind 14 to 21 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except in higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely. Cloudy with a low around 48. South-southwest wind 10 to 14 miles per hour. Becoming north after midnight, winds could gust as high as 18. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Now, new rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half inch. Normally, we have phenology at this time, a look at the plants and animals as the seasons change in our area. And today's program will be focusing on a phenomenon that is a sign of spring that appears in Ames and nowhere else, and that is Vesha.
The events of last Tuesday evening have caused tremors throughout our entire community. A crowd of thousands, 1,000 according to the Ames Tribune and 3,000 to 5,000 according to the Des Moines Register, rampaged through campus town, overturning two cars, tearing two light poles out of the ground. One of these light poles hit a man and injured him critically. He was sent by Life Flight to a hospital in Des Moines, where he is in intensive care but stable condition. As a result of these events, Vesha has been canceled.
There are a lot of interpretations of what has happened, as well as what may still happen this weekend.
And there's terrific disappointment on the part of the people who've been working on the open houses and floats for the Vesha Parade, Stars Over Vesha, and the many entertainments for students and out-of-town visitors. I had interviews with some of those people yesterday. Later in the program, Kim Hanna, director of the Campus Town Action Association, will tell us how the canceled Vesha will affect the spirit of Campus Town as well as the future of its businesses.
Sounds as you have a great program lined up, Greta. But first, for the official story, I'd like to play an interview I had with Jeff Huff, Assistant Chief of Police. Before I started recording, I had been asking him what role social media might have played in the events. What he told me was very different from what I had expected.
I have to carry two cell phones because I do all of the social media for the police department. And I used to do it on my own phone, and I could not keep up with it. And I started missing my own stuff. I do probably 95% of our social media right now, Twitter, Facebook mostly.
So that was important.
Absolutely important. There's two values for us for social media. One thing, especially government agencies, we get criticized a lot for not being very transparent. And something like Facebook and Twitter gives us an opportunity, as much as we want, to just share stuff with people. Instead of always having official press releases, it's work for us. Doing a press release is work for us. Getting it out to everybody is work for us. Where I can sit here at my computer, I can type something up, and I can send it out, and anybody that wants to look at it can look at it. And we think that's generally a good thing. And if you follow in either of our social media platforms, you'll see we put a lot of information out. And a lot of that stuff probably wouldn't get out much otherwise. Things that aren't a big story. People, you know, you guys are busy too. The media is busy too. They have to kind of go with the bigger stories. And on, you know, a slow news day, something might make the press that normally wouldn't. But when other things are going on, there's no other avenue to get that. And we do a lot of scams. We get scams all the time in Ames. And Facebook and Twitter allows us to put that information out quickly to people to say, hey, be careful. If someone calls you and tells you this, it's a scam. Or if you see this letter, it's a scam. And I don't know that that stuff would necessarily get out there as easily otherwise.
Well, that's a very interesting twist on all this.
Yeah.
Is what is your Facebook name?
It's Ames Police. So if you go to facebook.com/AmesPolice, our page will be there. And we'd say, like us on Facebook. And then you'll get all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, do we have to like you? I mean, don't you get some dislikes on Facebook?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a dislike on Facebook.
Oh, there's a not like.
Yeah, you can't. You don't do that. You either like something or you have no opinion for the most part.
Okay.
At least that's the way Facebook works. And you don't have to like us to look at the page. That's not one of the qualifications. But we certainly do like when people like us, because then you can get it set up so you get a notification if we put something new out, so you get it right away and you know. And we don't try and overuse Facebook. We put stuff out that's timely. It's important. You know, there's the occasional. We have a sense of humor too, and I occasionally will put something out that I think is just funny.
Like, did you do an April Fool's joke?
I decided not to do an April Fool's joke, but I did warn everybody that there would probably be some April Fool's jokes, so I told them I decided to go that way this year. Another popular thing right now is the Throwback Thursday on Facebook, where you post like a really old picture or something. And I know this is radio, but I used that picture last Thursday, which is a picture from 1957 of some of our officers, and put that out. And so it's fun to join in with some of that stuff too and show the human side of being a police officer.
Well, this week I guess you feel very human indeed.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You must have had big plans for how you were going to control anything that happened during Visha. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, our planning process is almost year-round for Visha. It's kind of like Christmas on our calendar. We know it's coming. We got to plan for it. We got to be ready for it every year. I don't think we anticipated having the level of activity early in the week, you know, on a Tuesday night. That was not something that's happened before and not something we saw coming. So we'll be honest, we didn't see it coming. We gear up mostly for that weekend of Visha. That Friday and Saturday night, we have a lot of extra staffing, and we do that every year, and we've been doing that every year for as long as I've been here, which is about 20 years. So we plan well for that Friday and Saturday night. We pretty much have all of our officers that are available working that night. And we hope to do a pretty good job. Tuesday night was a little bit different. You know, we weren't as prepared for that kind of situation. We had our normal number of officers working any other weekday night, and that obviously wasn't sufficient when things went bad. And so we were having to call in extra staff and get them there, and that takes time. And so we're kind of all behind the eight ball when something like that happens.
Well, one of the things that I read in the paper was the students were yelling, "Oh, here they come with the tear gas," but you didn't use tear gas.
No, we didn't use any chemical of any kind. So we didn't use any of our chemical munitions that you would normally see in a riot type situation somewhere. And we also didn't use our handheld pepper sprays or anything.
And why was that?
We were really resistant to having to do that. There was a couple of times during Tuesday night that we thought things had calmed down and control was kind of restored. So there was a series of almost like three different events. And I'll go back to the beginning. So the 2600 block of Hunt Street is where things started for us. And that was probably around 11:30 Tuesday night. And there was a large party and it got a little too big. And that's not anything unusual for Ames, you know, any week or weekend of the year. But it had gotten a little too big. So we sent some officers over to kind of help clear that area, move some people along, talk to the people that were running the party, let them know, hey, you kind of lost control here. We need to get it back. And actually, that went well received. We do a lot of relationship building throughout the year with, especially in that campus town area, so that they understand how we operate, and we know some of the people too. And it went pretty well, and we cleared the area, and it didn't seem like any big deal any other night. Then a lot of those people, we think, went to Welch Avenue. Crowd started to gather, and they flipped a car over. Again, our officers responded. They kind of cleared out the area. We got a tow truck, got the car flipped back over. And again, there was kind of a lull where we thought, okay, that's it. Then another large group assembled on Stanton Avenue, just a block away. Another car got flipped over, and that's when things got bad. Everybody on Welch Avenue, and I'm guessing a product of social media, figured there was something going on over on Stanton. So everybody that was on Welch went to Stanton. So we had two groups that became one large group. We made an arrest based on the flipping of the car, and that's when the crowd kind of turned against the police department at that point. They started throwing full cans of beer, bottles, rocks, pretty much anything that wasn't nailed down. There was a lot of chanting going on. The crowd kept building, and they actually advanced on the officers. And at this point, we're talking six or seven officers and thousands of people. So obviously, we're not prepared to stop something like that. So we had our officers kind of pull back. That crowd went north to Lincoln Way and then west back to Welch and back up Welch, kind of made a full circle and ended up in front of the clock tower at Welch and Chamberlain. And then at that point, the crowd grew a little bit. We started to see those light poles shaking, and that first one went down. And then a few minutes later, the second one went down. And, you know, at that point, we really started getting ready for a civil disturbance. We called in our officers. We were getting our riot gear assembled, kind of preparing for the worst case scenario. And then we got the call that there was somebody injured inside of that group. And we couldn't see them because this was a huge group of people. And the young man that was injured was in the middle of that group. And it took us a while to figure out where he was and that he was in the middle of it, because there was a lot of confusion going on at that point. You know, we had some calls, and because we couldn't see what was going on, it made it difficult for us. So actually it was myself and a couple other officers and a couple of firefighters. We finally decided we need to get into the middle of this and just see if there's somebody hurt that needs help. So we pretty much pushed our way in through the crowd, got to the middle and found him laying on the ground, and he was completely surrounded by, you know, a big wall of people. So the fire department was able to get I don't know the right term for it. It's not really a stretcher, but it's a board that you carry people, physically carry people. So we were able to get him stabilized, get him on the board, strap him on, take him out. We had to do a little bit of clearing of Chamberlain so we could get an ambulance to the fire station to get him transported out. But we were able to do that. And so he went to Mary Greeley, and then later we heard that he had been life flighted to Des Moines. And that incident is kind of where this thing changed again. I think a lot of the people that were in that area saw how serious that injury was. It was pretty obvious to anybody that was around how serious it was. And I think people started to think, you know, this is not right. This is no longer this fun thing that we thought it was going to be. And so we got a couple of officers, and we worked the perimeter of that big kind of crowd of people. And we just started talking to people calmly and said, hey, we don't need any more of this. It's time to go home. And really, it was five or six people at a time that we were able just to convince it's time to leave. And so they did. They started leaving. It took us about probably a half hour of just continually walking around that crowd, convincing people it's time to go home. And we eventually got it to the point where the street was clear. And then we worked the sidewalks and got those folks to go too. So it was a process, and a kind of a long process, but eventually, without using a lot of force, we were able to get everybody to go home. So it was about 2 hours from start to finish. So from at 11:30, it was about 1:30 that I think we had most of the people cleared out again.
The fact that you were able to talk peacefully and quietly to students and tell them, you know, it's time to go home, rather than making mass arrests. I guess mass arrests are not very feasible with a crowd this size.
But no, they're not. That's why we only made a couple arrests that night. I've been questioned about that from other folks about, if this was so bad, why didn't we arrest a lot more people? Well, we couldn't. You know, we were literally working with a handful of officers, and we can't tie them up with every, you know, arrest that we have to make. So that's kind of what we're working on this week, is we're doing a lot of follow-up. There's obviously a lot of material out there. There's a lot of Facebook stuff. There's a lot of Twitter stuff. There's a lot of videos. There's a lot of pictures. We've been gathering that. We've had people sending it to us. And so there was a lot of people that got away with it Tuesday night that are going to find themselves being charged here, coming up in the not-too-distant future.
Well, and from what you said, the arrest was the turning point in turning the mob violent.
It seemed like, you know, it was about that time when they started throwing stuff at us. And, we look at them as flashpoints. And I think if you go back on this one, and we haven't done a full review or anything, we just haven't had time to look at it in great detail. But I think we could probably put our finger on that arrest at the flipping of the car that definitely was a flashpoint. You know, that's when the crowd turned against the police department.
That was Assistant Chief of Police Jeff Huff and Susan Franzen, reporter, speaking with him. This is KHOI Community Radio. And we are talking about Visha and its cancellation and the events on Tuesday. Well, Susan, while you were talking to Jeff, taking your recorder down to the police department, I was over having lunch at Cafe Diem in Ames, and who should come in the door but Ann Campbell, our mayor. It's wonderful to live in a small town. So I, of course, got out my recorder and spoke with her about the events, and she was not prepared to speak. She just had a few things to say, but in a time like this, it's nice to hear. It's reassuring to hear the voice of a mayor. So let's hear Ann Campbell. So Ann, I'm speaking with Ann Campbell in a coffee shop here in Ames. Great to run into you, Ann. And how are you feeling today with the news about the cancel of Visha?
Well, needless to say, everybody is very sad about the fact that Visha was needing to be canceled. It was, I know, a very difficult decision for the university to make, but it was very telling to have early in the week a student who was very seriously injured. I have had a number of talks with the president of the university and know that it was not an easy decision for them to come to.
Can you conjecture about the reason for these kind of outbursts of activity among students?
Oh my, if I could answer that question, I'd be rich and famous now. It frankly is, I find quite astounding to meet with the police and to have the look at the videotapes to think that that kind of momentum can get going and attract that many individuals on what, in my way of thinking, still ought to be a school night. We've, of course, have seen these off and on ever since 1988, but there are differences this time, and certainly one of the differences is the rapid means of communication with social media. And then, of course, you add alcohol to an incentive, and it becomes very challenging.
What do you think the future of Visha is?
Well, President Leith is setting up a committee in which he's going to be, get students, staff at the university, alumni, residents of Ames to examine what the future of Visha should be. Visha, of course, has been going since 1922 here, so any decision is going to be a very emotional one, certainly, for the community of Ames, for alums, and for the university.
Thank you, Anne.
Good luck.
So that was Ann Campbell, mayor of Ames, in Cafe Diem. And after my lunch, I headed down to Campus Town to see if I could find anyone who had actually witnessed the events on Tuesday night from inside the crowd and what they thought about it. I heard a lot of ideas about why this had happened and spoke to some people who have been in Ames for their whole lives and got their perspectives as well. So it was quite enlightening for me, that trip down to Campus Town with my recorder. Let's listen first to Ryan Mitchell. He is a vendor on the street. He has one of those carts that park outside on Welch Avenue, and that's where I found him. And these folks set up their carts just at the times when people are likely to be hungry. And so actually 11:30 midnight is about when he starts setting up his cart. Kind of unusual for a business, but that's his model and it's working for him. So he was right in the middle of everything. Let's listen to Ryan Mitchell. Okay, so what's your name?
My name is Ryan Mitchell.
And Ryan, were you working at this cheesesteak booth the night of the riot?
Yes, I was. I'm the owner of the Cheesesteak Factory here on Welch Avenue, and I was right in the middle of it.
Okay, so what did you see?
When I got down here, there was a lot of students just on the other side of Chamberlain here on lining both sides of the street, and they were chanting all sorts of different things like Visha and USA. The street was cleared, but the sidewalks were a mess. And then,
what do you mean they were a mess?
Like, there was just people everywhere. There was wall-to-wall people. And I got down here at about, it was about 11:30, and that whole crowd then moved over to Stanton Avenue. And when that crowd moved over there, another Campus Town employee came by and said they just tear gassed Stanton Avenue, and I might think about getting inside. And then about 10, 15 minutes later, I was making a cheesesteak, and one of my customers looked down the street towards Lincoln Way, and he said, "Oh, my God." There was just wall-to-wall people in the middle of the intersection, and then they all came this way up the street, and it looked
up Welch.
Up Welch, yes, and it was like a tsunami wave coming at you. It was crazy, and there was people trying to flip my truck, which was parked right here, and there was a guy.
What did you do? Did you say, "Hey, that's my truck"?
Yeah, I had to pull the guys off my truck, and I ended up had to chase one guy away with my bread knife, and then that happened a second time, and as I pulled some guy away from my truck, another guy came out and punched me in the back of the head. And we ended up getting in a fight right here in front of my cart, and I got the better hand, I'll say that.
Good for you.
And after that, luckily I had enough people standing around that were of sane mind, and they helped just kind of guard the cart, and while I got everything loaded up in my truck, and I got out of here. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Can you tell me about that? You talked about the frame of mind. You know, it sounds like some people were trying to discourage others from continuing the violence. Or
the thing was, I felt like it was only really a handful of people doing most of the damage. I know the same group of about five guys took down the light pole and the two signs on this side of the street, and they were working on the second light pole right here.
The same guys as the ones who...
Same guys. There was four or five guys that just kept working the light poles. And there was one guy who really stuck out like a sore thumb because he's looked like of Korean descent. So it was pretty obvious to pick out it was the same guy in each group. And the other guys around him looked pretty similar. You know, and they were ripping down the light posts. And so just a handful of people with an audience, you know, and nobody's doing anything to say, "Hey, stop." You know, and so it really just ruined it for everybody because there's 1,000 people keeping from the police from getting here, and the people who were doing the damage felt safety in numbers because, you know, they could easily disperse into the crowd if the police were to come or whatever. And there was no police down here at all. I saw police officers coming off of Hayward as I drove down here to set up my cart. They came off of Hayward, they had their lights on, and they went to Stanton. And that's the only time I saw police officers that night and the whole time I was down here.
Oh. Do you have any idea where all these people were coming from?
I have no idea. And I think it's ridiculous that they didn't plan for it Tuesday night after the 1,000-person party that got broken up on Campus Avenue on Monday night. And that whole crowd of people got kicked out of that party at about somewhere a little before midnight because I had to drive through the crowd to get down here. And then they all came by here afterwards, and it got pretty busy down here once that party dispersed. And I've seen photos of the party. It was wall-to-wall people in somebody's backyard. And you know, you think if that happens on a Monday night, they ought to prepare a little bit better for the rest of the week, you know, and get some idea, but they didn't. So, and then last night there was a citizens patrols down here and things like that, and state troopers, but it's all hindsight, you know. Everything's kind of ruined this week already, so. And it really hurts my business.
I'm sure it does.
So, that's pretty much it.
Wow. Yeah, thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you. I
hope things look up. Maybe there'll still be larger crowds.
Yeah. Well, last night it didn't look like it was too canceled to me, so. I had a record night last night, so.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Bye. That was a vendor who was stationed in front of Welch when the riot on Campus Town on Tuesday night broke out. I also got to speak with a young student, certainly an undergraduate. He didn't give me his last name. His name is Ford. And this might give you some sense of the group that were bystanders and what they were thinking and feeling when all this was going on.
Great.
What's your name?
Ford.
Ford, and you're a student here at ISU?
Yeah.
Were you there on Tuesday night when all this commotion happened?
Yeah, I was. I was just walking around, and I mean, I saw crowds. I started right down there.
Down there is on Chamberlain.
It's the next street, yeah.
Stanton.
Chamberlain and Stanton. I was right there, and when the first car got flipped there, and it kind of all escalated right there, I think.
What were you thinking when you saw that car being flipped?
I actually didn't see it get flipped, but I saw it, like, right after it. It was crazy. Everything after that, it was crazy.
And was it crazy good or crazy bad or crazy you just weren't sure?
It started crazy good, and then it went downhill once we got here.
Okay, and here is closer to Welch.
Yeah, just right in the intersection.
And so were people kind of cheering on the people who were doing crazy things, or
yeah,
were people saying...
Probably, yeah. People were definitely going with it.
Why? Why do you think?
I don't know, mob mentality. Everyone's just going with it. Everyone's just having fun, and then it just took a turn. And, yeah, I felt bad because, I mean, there's a kid in the hospital, and a lot of my friends are good friends with him, and so that was, I mean, you never want to see that.
And so after the police kind of cleared things out?
I took off before that. So once everything happened, I was like, I'm done with this. It's time to end the night. There were still a lot of people when I left.
What were they doing?
Just all hanging out. I mean, people were trying to get help to the kid. But I don't know. And I mean, people were trying to help him. Nobody really knew what to do. And I didn't see people, like, restraining, like, police or, like, ambulances from getting in. That's what I've been hearing, but I didn't see any of that. I mean, right away, people, like, saw him go down, and they were screaming, like, to get help. Like, that something bad had actually happened.
Okay. And somebody probably thought to call 911 at that time.
Yeah. I mean, well, you didn't even have to call. You just had to walk 50 feet. So the cops were right there.
What was it like between the cops and the kids?
There was a lot of tension, definitely. I mean, you're being kids.
Throwing, I hear, beer.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff being thrown, definitely.
How did that make you feel?
It was like, I don't know, it felt like a riot. And I was like, wow, like, this is real. I've never been in anything like that.
Can you think of anything that would explain behaviors like that?
I mean, right now, honestly, I think a lot of the reason it happened is because there's been the riots around the country from, like, all the basketball games and stuff. And I think people were like, since our basketball team didn't, I don't know, give us a chance, I guess you could put it, like, people were acting that way, almost trying to get their own. Because people have just been seeing news reports and things on Twitter about this happening all over the nation. So I think that almost plays into it.
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, and we are talking about Visha. That was a student who was there for some of the Tuesday night mayhem and gives you perhaps a sense of what they might be thinking, what those kids might have been thinking.
We started with Jeff Huff, Assistant Police Chief, and Greta Anderson has been sharing the interviews with you that she gathered in Campustown. And Greta, do you have some more?
I do. I ran into a gentleman who, around 60 years old, 60s, in his 60s, who has lived in Ames his whole life and attended ISU. He had kind of the long view, and I thought that was very helpful. Just one note before we hear him, he witnessed the 2004 riot, so he does talk about that at the beginning. His description there is not a description of the present situation, but it does give us some perspective on the events.
I went to Iowa State as a student, and I remember growing up in Ames, the highlight of the year. It was between Christmas or Visha. Those are the two highlights. They had great demonstrations over in the departments. They had a lot of food and drinks, non-alcoholic drinks at that time. And it was just a terrific holiday, and the parade was great. The whole thing was a big deal, and a big deal for me as a kid. And I remember it fondly as I remember it as a student also fondly for similar reasons. I was a little surprised with the last riot where the police were here. They had thrown tear gas up here. I had to go around the corner. I was hungry. I wanted to get something late at night to eat. And what I saw was police coming up Welch in their riot gear with plastic stuff protecting them, and the students having rocks that they had gotten from a recent construction site to throw at them. And it was futility, it was stupidity, because all the police were doing was moving them up at Welch. But the students were angry, and the cell phones rang. They came out of all these places on Welch, and they went nuts. That's what happened. And it was just stupidity. It was drunk students, angry drunk students is what it was. And all they were doing were getting themselves in trouble. But I stood here in the parking lot of Come and Go with a broken window, thinking about how could this happen? This is stupid and destructive, and how could this happen? Because we would never, as a student, when I was in Iowa State, we never would have dreamed of doing anything like that. The reason it happened, there was a precedent in 1989 where high school students from places like Boone on Welch burned furniture in the street. There was even a hole in Welch for a while. Made international news for Ames. Bad international news. The football team coach came out. Well, first of all, the dean of students came out. The police came out, couldn't do anything with it. Then the dean of students came out. He couldn't do anything with it either. These are drunk high school students. Didn't have a clue. They didn't have the training. They didn't know how to deal with it. Out comes the football and basketball coach. That did it. But every year after that, at Visha time, Johnny Orr left town. Johnny Orr was the basketball coach. He got out of Ames. He never wanted to go through that again.
Wow. So you were not that surprised about what happened on Tuesday?
No, and it affected me. Someone took a student took a baseball bat to my windshield on my car, and it's going to cost me quite a bit of money.
Really?
Yeah.
You are parked where?
Stanton. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm not happy about that, but once the precedent is set, and drinking is, of course, the factor, and anger was a factor, too. Anger because the police were probably too aggressive in breaking up parties on Chamberlain, and the cell phones rang, and we've got instant communication now, where all these students and all these bars could hear about this and come out in the street and go nuts. That could not have happened in the 1990s. No way. Didn't have the instant communication by cell phone that you have now.
Right.
So it's partly a technology thing.
I'm hearing that. If you could have, if you could change Visha to get away from this type of behavior and back toward the way you remember it, what measures do you think you would want to take?
There's no way to do it. You can't turn back the clock. The precedents have been set, and you can't turn back the clock. It's just too bad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Kurt Siemens, a longtime Ames resident, past student at ISU. I ran into then another gentleman, Roy Spitzer. Let's hear what he had to say. So what's your name?
Roy Spitzer.
Royce.
Yeah.
Are you a graduate student, faculty?
Oh, I work on campus. I'm on staff, basically.
Okay. And what is your perspective on the recent events surrounding Visha?
I really hate to see it ended so soon. Everybody was looking forward to it. But I know what President Leith was thinking. He probably had to deal with this in some way. And somebody got injured pretty badly. And there's a lot of violence, more or less.
What do you think is the cause of this violence?
Well, I'm thinking maybe people were... It's been a cold winter, and people wanted to get outside, and they got carried away.
I've heard that Visha used to take place in May.
Yes, it did. This is like usually the first week of May.
Do you think that would change things, that maybe people will be used to the good weather?
I don't know. It's the first riot broke out when I was here in grad school, and it was in May, and people at the time were blaming the warmer weather, so they tried moving it up so it'd be cooler and maybe keep things calmer. But probably the main thing that helped was after the riot in 2004, and they decided to revamp the whole festival and have a lot more entertainment. It kept things going for quite a while. It went really well for the last 10 years.
So this has been an ongoing problem that people are constantly trying to figure out.
Yes, it has been. And they pretty well thought they had things solved until Tuesday night.
How does Visha affect you and your job?
Oh, sometimes I'm help with a few of the displays and things like that that we have in our department.
What department's that?
Entomology.
Oh, okay. So, and students come in and learn about the department?
Yes. Yeah, the insect zoo on display.
Is it something you take pride in as a department?
Yes. So I think I just hate to see all the people went to all this trouble to set up, make parade floats, set up displays, bake cherry pies, and what's going to happen to all that stuff?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Greta Anderson. I'm a reporter for KHOI Community Radio. I'm trying to find out what's happening to all the cherry pies that were made for this weekend. Oh, okay. I see. How many pies are there? 14,200 pies. Wow. And the provost is deciding what to do with them? Okay, thanks. I'm going to call the provost office. Thanks. We have other more serious sides to our story, but we're wondering what's going to happen to the 14,000 pies.
Greta?
Yeah.
How about if I get your phone number and we give you a call back? We're working through some of those issues along the way.
Thank you so much.
And you are with KHOI Radio.
Yep.
Great. Okay, great.
And our heart goes out to you for all you're having to do right now.
Yeah, it's a busy time, but we're working through all those issues too. We'll give you a holler back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Give me some cherry pie. Na 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 na, whoa whoa, na na na, na na na, cherry pie. Cherry pie, na na na, na na na, cherry pie.
And so far in the program, we've heard various taped interviews from people affected by the violence in Campustown last week and subsequent cancellation of Visha. And now we have as our guest Kim Hanna, director of the Campustown Action Association, who can answer some of the questions that we have after listening to all of this. Hi, Kim.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in. I understand that you are part of the response to this. Could you tell us what's happening over there?
Yes. Sorry. I apologize if I mumble a little bit this morning. Since Wednesday morning, I think I have had about 5.5-6 hours of sleep total. After Tuesday night's situation in Campustown, we sort of moved up all of the processes that we had in place already for this weekend, which involves city staff, myself, and Iowa State staff doing street patrols in Campustown, which was going to be both Friday and Saturday night. We did this last year. It was very successful to keep more eyes out on the street to kind of see more of what's going on, but also to have adult presence on the street, going up and asking how everyone is doing and checking in, and there's definitely a change in behaviors when they see people who look like moms walking around Campustown as well, which helps. I don't look like a mom, but some of the other staff do. They're all the students are taller than I am, so it is what it is. But we moved everything forward 2 days. So we started on Wednesday night instead of tonight. And one of the duties that I have was in Jeff's interview, he talked a lot about the use of social media. And one of the things we started doing last year especially was to monitor social media so that when students start talking about parties that are popping up or things like that, we see it on Twitter. And sometimes they even tag the address, which is very helpful. It is what it is. So we follow. So last night I was actually up following social media and keeping the police updated so that they don't have to focus on that they can do the job that they're there to do. So following Instagram and Twitter and seeing what people are posting about what they're doing and seeing pictures. And particularly last year it was successful because a lot of the kids who... There were a lot of pictures taken both last year and this year of the cars being flipped. And so then they were posting the pictures online so we could see faces and start identifying people through the pictures.
I don't use these social media, so I don't know how you get into somebody else's. I mean, say you're sending out to all your friends. Presumably, yeah. You're not on their all the friends list.
A lot of people will hashtag Visha when they're writing about what they're doing during Visha. And so that's how we've been able to catch a lot of stuff. And last night, I was following four different Twitter feeds because of the... Some people can spell Visha and some people spell it differently than it's actually spelled. So, you know, we're following a couple different spellings of Visha, following hashtag unofficial Visha. And then I was also following hashtag campustown, which I do regularly just to see what people are saying about stuff going on in campustown. And so a lot. And then also on Instagram, following more threads on Instagram than just those four. But just to see what people are putting out there so we can sort of monitor the situation a little bit.
Kim, what is your normal role in Campus Town? What do you do the rest of the year?
The rest of the year? I'm the director of the Campus Town Action Association, which is the nonprofit that basically stands as the business district membership facility for Campus Town. There are over 85 businesses, churches, professional offices in Campus Town, and we're set up very similarly to the Main Street Cultural District, but in Campus Town. So during my normal work office hours, I do a lot with promoting the district as a whole. Right now we have a lot of really exciting activities going on with what we're calling the Campus Town Renaissance with the construction projects, and we're kind of for the last year and a half, we've been really working on the perception of Campus Town and going out and talking about all the great things that there are and there still are in Campus Town, all of our fantastic restaurants and businesses. And the 2 hours on Tuesday did not stop that. We're full speed ahead on that. Meeting with groups and I liaison between the city and the university as well. My job is funded through the university and the city, so we're a perfect example of the town and gown partnership. But I also, in my role as the director, was a part of the Visha Advisory Council. So several of the emotions that I've been working through this week are frustration, disappointment, and sadness. And a lot of that has to do with the amount of work that the Visha committee has put into the last year. I was at the press conference, obviously, on Wednesday afternoon, and the looks on the faces, especially of Nick and Carl, the co-chairs, after a year of long hours, long days, early mornings, lots of work going into making a fantastic celebration for Iowa State and the entire community, and having it go away because of the actions of a few individuals is very disappointing and very frustrating for everyone. I think I don't stand alone in those feelings in this town this week.
And I've been wondering about Stars Over Visha.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be for two weekends this year.
So Stars Over Visha was held last weekend. It will not be this weekend. So since it's a Visha event, it was also canceled, suspended, I guess.
And they're not going to do it a second weekend. There's no way for them to do it another time.
I don't know that. You'd have to contact Iowa State Theater Department for that information. But I was in theater in college. I know how much work goes into these shows. And so it's heartbreaking as well. So a lot of parents who might not have been able to come last weekend and were planning on coming this weekend now didn't get to see their kids in the show either. So,
and another thing that I remember is the big thing in Visha was the floats. In fact, when my husband was teaching, he used to just hate Visha because the students were always out for a week or two before Visha doing the important things that they had to do, make their floats.
You know, and this year the parade was going to kind of be back to what the parades used to be like. I'm from Central Iowa. I didn't go to Iowa State, but I'm third generation Iowa State. My sister went to Iowa State. My parents went to Iowa State. My grandfather and his brothers went to Iowa State. So Visha was very much a part of my childhood. And I remember going to the parade and seeing all the amazing floats. And they had, I'm not sure if it was 12 or 16, but they had over 10 floats that were going to be in the parade this year. It was really going to be similar to what Visha used to be like in the 80s when it was a really big weekend, fun, family-friendly celebration.
in the 80s. And, we came here in the 60s, and my memory of Visha is the big problem for Visha was that they let the grade schools out so mm-hmm. that the kids could come to the Visha exhibits, but the kids came with their squirt guns.
Uh-oh.
And so that was the big problem was these school kids running around with squirt guns.
What
and
a
that,
problem to have.
And so they didn't let them out of school anymore on Fridays.
Yeah.
But I remember my son saying, what do they do for Visha in towns where they don't have a university, because it's like somebody said, Christmas and Visha.
Yeah. Yep.
And I have to put in a plug for Freak Week. This my husband was around in the 80s, and he credits some of the peaceableness of previous Vishas to an alternative steam letting off event called Freak Week, where some of the rules were broken. And people could hang out in fields and play frisbee and just kind of let off steam in the springtime. And this Freak Week was canceled, he said, in the mid to late 80s, and he ascribes the subsequent violence to the lack of Freak Week.
Interesting. Well, and I do have to put in another plug for Jeff and his fantastic team with the Ames Police Department. Ames Police Department, Iowa State Police Department, and the Iowa State Patrol have been phenomenal this week. We feel that they handled Tuesday exactly as they could. I know there was a lot of chatter on Wednesday about why weren't there more police in Campustown on Tuesday, and it was a Tuesday night. This has historically never been an issue until later in the week, and I really feel that the weather played a huge part in what happened earlier this week. Everyone knows how awful this winter was and how cooped up everyone has been since November. I was at that Kansas football game in the middle of November last year when it was 10 degrees out and everyone was freezing, and it basically stayed that temperature until about a week ago, it seems like. So having, and that was a concern that a lot of us had, was if the first nice week of the year is this weekend, we're going to have some issues. And then it came earlier than, and just kind of stuck around. So,
well, after talking to Jeff, I really wondered when he talked about how they were forced to use restraint. I mean, they just, there wasn't anything they could do. Maybe it was better that there weren't so many police.
Right. I think they handled themselves fantastically. And, you know, starting Wednesday night, there were, I believe, three times as many police officers as there were Tuesday night. Again, that was planned for today and tomorrow, and we just started the process a little earlier.
Yeah, I reflected on the one of my guests' description of the 2004 riot, where there were there was tear gas, there were policemen in their riot gear, and how much worse that event was.
Yeah, and I was in college, but I was at UNI. I was up in Cedar Falls for the 2000. It was my senior year of college up there, and I remember hearing a lot from friends that were at Iowa State that they were not impressed with how the police handled the situation and how it might have made it worse instead of better. And I think that the guys and the women on Tuesday night just did a fantastic job.
Well, I was impressed with the way they dispersed the crowd, just talked to people and say. But he also said what really stopped it was the realization that somebody was hurt.
Well, and I was so I was out Wednesday night. I was one of the patrollers Wednesday night. I'll be out there tonight as well. And having the Iowa State staff out there is fantastic as well. I think there were about 35 out there, including Dr. Pamela Anthony, who's the Dean of Students, Richard Reynolds, who's the Director of the Iowa State Memorial Union, who's also on our board. He's fantastic. And having a lot of the Student Affairs staff and the Thielen Student Health Center staff out there, and they're all in very distinctive red sweatshirts and red sweater vests with Iowa State on them, and they're very visible, and they're out walking and talking to the students and everyone who's out there. And I think that really helps, that we're out there to keep everybody safe. We're not out there to take away the fun.
Well, back to the pies, because
I know.
They raise those clubs raise a lot of
they
money
do.
By selling pies, and there's a lot of other effort that goes into it. I wonder, you know, it sounds as if Visha, the party side of Visha is just going on like an unstoppable tide this weekend. The only good thing, the only thing that's been canceled is the good stuff.
Yeah.
The educational component.
Yes, but I think it was necessary. It definitely set a tone. I think that was his, I think that was President Leith's only option. If they hadn't, and then some another night issue happened, I think it would be detrimental to the university.
Well, I asked Jeff Huff that, and he said that was the threat. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's violence or if there's a riot, we'll stop Visha. And that after saying that, you know, it's like, well, you make a threat, you carry through with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that President Leith was very vocal about that at the press conference as well. You know, he said, after the 2004, when Joffrey suspended the next year's Visha, they basically said, if this happens again, we're done. And then it happened again. So we'll see what the task force comes up with for the future of Visha and Ames.
Back to the squirt guns.
Yes. Well, maybe not. Those can cause some damage, too.
Well, it's really been wonderful to have you with us today, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Kim Hanna. And earlier we heard from Jeff Huff, the Assistant Chief of Police in Ames.
And I would like to thank my on-air guests, the Ann Campbell, Mayor of Ames. We heard from Ryan Mitchell, the cart vendor, a student named Ford. Kurt Siemens of Ames, Roy Spitzer of Ames, and in the background you might have heard secretaries from the Department of Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management and from the Office of the Provost and VP.
And your hosts for today have been Greta Anderson
and Susan Franzen.
And Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. And the music you heard was Cherry Pie, right?
Yes, it's a doo-wop. I can't quite remember the people who did it.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you'll find an archive for all of the Local Talk shows we've produced since we went on the air in 2012. And on our website, recent shows will be posted on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. There you'll find lists of our guests and links to the organizations and other resources mentioned on our shows.
This show is a historic show because it is the last Local Talk show to be broadcast from the front window of KHOI. Next Monday, we'll be able to use our newly built broadcast studio, and we are really celebrating. In fact, we're inviting all of you to come by the Pantorium at 410 Douglas Street on Saturday, April 19th. That's Saturday, April 19th. Mark your calendars and come down and check out our new studio. We want the community to celebrate, but especially the listener.
If you've enjoyed this show, tell your friends and consider becoming one of the 500 families donating $20 per month or $250 per year to help us meet our operating expenses, though we'd appreciate whatever fits into your budget. We'd also like to hear your feedback either by phone at 515-292-2878 or by email at khoiradio@gmail.com with news in the subject line.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you think you'd like to take a recorder around and interview people or just be behind the scenes and think about what we need to talk about, contact us at 292-2878 or the email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening and see you again on the radio.
See you again on the radio.